life, it will be a result of the fact that you lost something. That's the way it works. Otherwise, it abides alone. It has to die first. There's something that will die for you to get something else from the Lord. And that's just that's the basic fact about life. That's just the truth about it. You understand that point? All right, let's get into our message without discussing other things. I've been talking about the law of faith. All right, let's start from Numbers chapter 14. That may be a good place to start. In the last few days, I've gone somewhere to preach every day for 3 days now. We'll finish it tomorrow. And the first day when I got there was, as I sat down, and that happens a lot. And usually when something like that happens, that scripture becomes very, very important to me for the next many months, for the next season, actually. Just before I mounted the pulpit to start to teach, there was a scripture that the Spirit of God directed me to. And I won't bother to explain to you why I'm sure the Spirit of God. There's a way it works, all right? That I should start that message that day from that scripture. And I'm going to read it today because it's still part of the things that we have been teaching. But first of all, let's start from Numbers chapter 14. Now, the story in the book of Numbers, we all know. The people of Israel, they had gotten to the edge of the promised land. And then, if you read from Deuteronomy, you will find out that they asked Moses to allow them go and spy the land. It was their idea. Because before, when I read it, when I came to an understanding of the way God does things, I was a bit confused as to why God decided that they should go and spy the land. It's not actually the way God does things. All right? If he was the one, he would just tell them, go in, this is the land. He won't tell them to go and spy it. He's good. You should trust him. But I found out later that Moses said that it was because they asked that the Lord should allow them go spy the land. That was why the good Lord said, okay, go ahead and go and spy the land. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 1, for those who want to know what I'm talking about, in verse 22. And then if you see back in that Deuteronomy chapter 13, that area, you will see that God agreed. And you see, the fact that God agrees to something does not mean he was pleased with it. Because he knew what was going to happen, but they insisted. And God said, fine, go ahead. Now, but that's not our message for today. I'm just trying to bring that one in, that I found out that it's not God's order for them to do the way they did. So this was the reason that God allowed them to go in. But that one aside, what happened, we know the story. They saw giants in the land, and there were 12 spies. 2 said, we saw a beautiful land. The other 10 said, yes, we acknowledge that the land is beautiful, but there are giants therein. And because of those giants, we are not able to take the land that God wanted to give us. You are getting that point. Now, they now said, they turned to Moses and said, what kind of trouble is this? It's as if God has come here to come and destroy us here. And then they said, look, now let us appoint somebody. Let's move back to Egypt. When Joshua and Caleb got up to speak, the people decided that Joshua and Caleb wanted them to die. Because those ones said that, look, we can take the land. There's no cause for alarm. There's no need to be afraid. Yet, the people decided, look, I think we should stone the 2 of you. But this was what happened. The Lord now came. We know the whole story, all right? The Lord now came and was very angry and told Moses, step back, I'm about to destroy all of them. And Moses pleaded, he explained, look, oh God, what are we going to explain to the Egyptians? That what happened to the people that you remember by such a mighty hand? No, that's not good. Anyway, God said, all right, this is what I'm going to do, and this is where I want to read. He said from verse 26, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. He says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Please notice that. He said, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Now, what I want you to note is that God emphasized something there. He says, what you said in my hearing that I am going to do to you. Now, notice that it was as you spoke in my hearing. Now, you have to understand this. Anytime you say something, especially to somebody else is hearing. This is the interesting part. God is also hearing. He said, if you go and read Malachi, he said, those that fear the Lord speak often one to another, and the Lord heard. When Aaron and Miriam grumbled against Moses, the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. Do you understand my point? When you talk like that, the Lord is listening. That's why they said that Christ is the head of this home, the unseen guest at every meal, and the silent listener to every conversation. You've not seen that sticker before, but I think you should go and buy it and put it back in our homes. Indeed, he's a silent listener to every conversation. And he's saying that anything you say like that in my hearing, that is exactly what I will do to you. Now, let's get back somewhere else. I want us to read another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, Paul said something up to this moment. Let me just read from 11. I like to read in context, though where I'm going is verse 13. He said, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. He says, so death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. He said, we also believe, therefore also speak. He said, therefore we also speak. Now notice that. He said, we know that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with him and will present us with you. That is, this is what we believe and that's what we are declaring. Are you getting the point? That is, what we believe comes out of our mouth when we speak. Jesus said it like this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, there's one last scripture I want to read and then I begin to speak. That's Romans chapter 10, from verse 8. Paul again was teaching. He said, for what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The reason being, verse 10, with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation, that is resulting in something that is practical, that can be demonstrated on the earth. That's what he meant by salvation. Are you getting the point there? Now, please notice all these scriptures we have read, because these are the things that my discussion this evening is going to be based upon. Now, as you know, we have been talking about the law of faith, and the one thing I want to say again before I begin to dissect the things, the scriptures we have read today, just to review a few things we have said about that law of faith. Now, don't forget this, that I said that faith is a law. Don't ever forget that. Now, that works all the time. That's what a law means. It works all the time. Now, what is faith? We said faith, I've explained this, that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. We must never forget that. That spiritual things are real. They are very real. They are very tangible. And what I mean by spiritually tangible, they are not imaginations in the heart of people. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it is not like in your heart you believe that God has done something, therefore it will be manifested. That is true. But the reason why you can believe it is because really it exists. Let me say this to you. It is not possible for you to believe what does not exist. If you believe something that doesn't exist, then you have been deceived. Did you hear what I said? I don't know whether you got that point. If it is not possible for you to believe that which does not yet exist, if you think you can believe what doesn't exist, or you believe something and that thing really doesn't exist, then you have been deceived. I want to emphasize that point as I go on into my recapping what we have said before, and then we'll go into today's teaching. What we have been saying actually about faith is that what we are saying actually exists spiritually. Like we said several times, the heavens, the Bible says, are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Are you getting me? And like the prayer of Jesus Christ said, that pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. I've established that's what that scripture was saying. I don't want to go over that again. That is, the will of God has been written in heaven. That is, that which is in the heavens is real. So what we want to do is to have that thing done on the earth. God spoke to Moses, make sure you build the tabernacle on the earth exactly like the one I showed you in heaven. That is, before the tabernacle of Moses was built, a real tabernacle, the one that Jesus Christ took his blood into, existed in the heavens. Are you getting my point? So what Moses built on the earth was just a replica of that which already existed in the heavens. So what we are saying is this. This is how faith works. Faith is a way by which the thing that exists in the invisible realm, though a very real realm, becomes done on the earth. That God cannot do anything on this earth until a man, a woman of faith, reaches out to God and brings that thing by faith down onto the earth. That is, your faith is not inventing for God. No, you are not trying to get something done that never existed before. God is the all-wise God. In him, there is the ultimate wisdom. He is wisdom personified. What that means is that every plan that you can possibly conceive is already in the mind of God. Are you getting my point? So if you are walking by faith and you are walking with God, what you are doing actually is to discover that which God has done in the heavens. This is how God said it to John. The angel said to him, "Say, come and see what will take place shortly." I don't know whether you get the point. That is, the thing is already taking place up there. Come and look at it. Then you will see it done on the earth after you have prophesied accordingly. And don't forget this again. I've given us an illustration a number of times. When God, the Bible says that God does not do anything on the earth until he has spoken to his servants, the prophets. The reason being that what he wants to do, the prophets will prophesy accordingly. And it's according to what they have said. You are getting that point? That the work of God will now become effected on the earth. It's important we understand this. That is, the law of faith is about the most important law that a Christian must understand. Because it's as you understand that you are actually able to work for God on this earth. Do you get my point? Because you see, what you want to do is to have the will of God done on the earth, literally. The will of God is what God has planned and has written and has recorded in the heavens. And he wants that thing brought down to the earth. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? Now, we have seen many things about that law of faith. And I'm just using all this to bring the things that we have learned before back to our minds. All right. Now, so, we have been examining this. And now, what I want to explain today is that issue of that spirit of faith that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 13. Now, a few weeks ago, I read from, where was it now? Somewhere in Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. Now, because of time, I will not read it again. But if you go down to verse 4 and into verse 5, you'll see that God was there speaking with him. And he said in verse 5, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham." Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of a multitude of nations. He said, "For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." He said, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you." Now, I've read all these scriptures to highlight some important issues. Because from my studies and my understanding of the principles of life, what actually decides whether faith is in the heart, all right? I've said before, everything that is spiritual must always have a physical manifestation. Can you remember that fact? That is, if something does not have its physical manifestation, it really does not exist spiritually. There must be physical workings, things that people can relate with, that tell us, are you getting my point? That something exists spiritually. Do you understand my point? That is, there's what James called faith made perfect by works. What he was saying is that the man is shown to really have faith if there are works to show concerning his faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, the one I'm emphasizing today is the matter of words that people speak. I've said this again and again. Christians learn some mannerisms. That is, you can have the work of faith and not have the faith of the works. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, somebody did something because he has faith. He said he's been healed, so he doesn't take medicine. He was sick. They diagnosed him as having a kind of difficult disease, and doctors prescribed some drugs. And the man took it for a while, and then one day he prayed and said, "I've been healed." And he threw his medicine away. And they said, This is risky. The guy said, What do you mean it's risky? Medicine is meant for the sick. I'm not a sick man, I'm a well man. Are you getting my point? That this is so persuaded concerning what he's saying. Therefore, the guy becomes well. He doesn't die. His sickness doesn't get the better of him. If anything, he overcame the devil. Then one day, is there any testimonies? He comes to church. He said, "There is a testimony. I was sick. But last week, I had cause to be examined because I took a new job. and they needed medical certification, and the doctor certified again that I'm very well. Now, the doctor said this a year ago, that I was sick unto death, and I had to take this medicine and this and this. But then, one day, I began to study, and the Spirit of God enlightened my heart. Are you getting the point? And then I realized that I really wasn't sick, therefore I didn't need the medicine. So I forgot it, threw it away, and I continued my life. And here I am, I'm very well, I've been certified well now. And it was a, whoo, praise the Lord. Now, you know, that's really real, it happens, all right? Then somebody who's been sick also said, the key to getting well is throwing away your medicine. Now, listen. That man didn't get well because he threw away his medicine. Are you getting my point? So you see people who have the works of faith without having the faith of the works. You are getting the point I'm making here? In the same manner, there are people who talk the talks of faith without having the faith of the talk. Are you getting my point? They say it is well. Even T.B. Joshua now preaches it is well. You know, when you rub with some people sometimes, you learn some habits, all right? But that's just it, habits. They were not formed out of conviction in the copier's life. Are you getting my point? As a lot of people pray like T.D. Jakes, they have nothing to shout about. T.D. Jakes shouts because he has something to shout about, all right? But something, because they've been so blessed by the man, you think that by copying his mannerisms, you also bless people like that. It doesn't work. There is a spirit that is transmitted when somebody does his mannerisms. If you have those mannerisms without having that spirit, you will not be effective. Are you getting my point? That is, those things are manifested in that person's life spontaneously because there is a spirit inside him. You are getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, Paul said that there is a spirit of faith, and what the spirit of faith does is to make somebody talk. It makes him take certain actions. One, talking doesn't mean he has faith, but if he has faith, he will talk. That is, a man who doesn't talk doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. Listen, the way you know what is it, look, it's just that there are so many ways of copying the thing that is real. Are you getting what I'm saying? Otherwise, the most important way you know who has faith and who doesn't is by virtue of what the person says. Although you are not the judge of anybody's faith, so don't worry about it. Does that guy have faith? Let us check what he says. No, that one doesn't concern you. You should check with yourself when you talk in truth. Do you get my point? I mean, maybe a friend comes to you and they sit down. I said, nah, just give me counsel. So you look to the left, look to the right. The Pastor Bank is not around. Let me just tell you the truth. That is the one really that is coming out of your heart. The one that you say in public, it is, you know, when you go to church, there's what they call Christianese. You know, the way you speak Chinese, some speak Igbo. Abi, some speak Yoruba, some speak Chinese, and a large group of them speak Christianese. What is Christianese? In the entire church, praise God, praise God. Roha now, it is well. Bless you, sir. Are you getting my point? It's church language. It's good language, yo. It's just that you can copy it without believing it. I mean, you've seen all kinds of people speak in tongues on home video. They are not even filled with alcohol. How much more the Spirit of God? They are just acting. That's why they are called actors. Do you understand my point? No, it's important to understand this balance. It's not everybody that goes around talking that really believes what they are saying. But those who really believe it, and that's why you should be a judge over your own life alone. All right? You have to judge yourself. Don't bother judging other people. You judge yourself. What do I really believe? When I talk, what is the talk that's really coming out of my heart? Let me say something to you. Really, as a person, you don't even have the ability to know what is inside you except by what comes out of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what is inside you does not announce itself to you, even you, except by the actions that it produces in your life. You don't know whether you have faith until you do certain things. You are getting the point I'm making? So that's why these things we are teaching is to show you where you are in your relationship with God. Because what's most important as Christians, I've said this, I think there was one message I preached at the beginning of last year, and a personal quest for God is important. You know, a man came to me recently, and you know, he asked me to counsel him about something. And I don't like counseling much, but he caught me, you know what I mean? I don't know where Olisemeka was, so he caught me. Normally, Olisemeka would not block him. No, that's a fact. So I generally try and avoid as much as possible. I have many other things to do. But I oblige people who come here that is, if I see you a number of times here and you come and say, please, can I talk to you? Of course, I can't say no. Anyway, this man said, I should counsel in person. And he said a lot of things to me. And usually when people are talking to me like that, you know the interesting part? I don't have anything prepared to say to you. What I said to one will not be the same I'll say to two, even if they came with identical situations. This is it. This is reality. As you are talking, my spiritual tentacles are up. The antenna, they are scanning the frequency. The Lord saying anything. Is there a word for you? Is there, you know? So as you are talking, I'm hearing with one ear. The other ear. No, I'm using two physical ears to hear you. But my spirit is literally tuned to the... I'm praying there like, God, do you have a word for this guy? And I will tell you simply, like I told the young man as we were speaking, I said, well, since we have been talking, really, I don't have anything to tell you yet. So you know what I did? And I do that all the time. I'm just saying this might help some people, all right? If you're going to do the kind of job I'm doing. So what I do is I start asking more questions. The questions are not really designed to help me. They are designed to keep you talking. I don't know whether you get my point. They are designed to keep you talking. I'm not trying to learn anything from the question I'm asking you. They're just designed to keep you, you know, it's like your spirit keeps flowing. It keeps flowing. So when you finish, when the guy finished, I said, well, I told him, no, and I'm very honest, I know the deceived person. You know one of the reasons why I don't like deceiving people? I want to live long. Those who people deceive people, they don't live long. No, it's true. Elihu said, I don't flatter anybody, otherwise my maker will soon take me away. I don't like to deceive people. So I'll tell you simply, well, just keep talking. I don't have anything to tell you yet. And so he kept on speaking. Then at the point in time, I knew what to tell him. And I told him simply, many things have passed through my mind. This has stayed on top. This is what I'm supposed to tell you. Now, let me tell you this. And this is the point. He explained his problems and all of that. And, you know, well, I believe this just helps some people. You know, maybe like he's been doing stuff. He's not working and he's not satisfying everything he's doing. All the questions I asked, it didn't sound to me like a man out of the calling of God for his life. It didn't sound like that at all. That is, as he was speaking, I asked him a particular question where I wanted to learn something. The way I answered, I said, no, this guy knows what he's doing. Then finally, I got it. Which is, I just want to share it with us again briefly because something I was saying earlier. I said, oh, this is what God wants you to do. I virtually gave us an instruction. I said, you've been trying to work for God. Yes, this is your calling. I said, but you have not been built up in God. And God gave me an illustration immediately. I said, if your son in your house tries to help you, how do you feel? He's going to cause more trouble. I said, you have a little boy. Okay, maybe like I do. I have kids. I don't want them to do anything more than wake up in the morning, brush, go and have a bath, eat, brush, dress up, go to school, come back from school, eat again, remove your clothes, do your homework, play, watch other cartoons or what's his name, Donut Man, and then at night, go back to the table again, eat some more, my food, my money, do you get the point? Just don't fall sick. If you want me to be happy, do what I say, don't fall sick, all right? Sleep, wake up. Do I get tired of them that they always eat these children, they always eating my food? But the day will come. Now, if you chop my food too much, I'll go, boy, come. You know, see, this is your throat done the too long, self. Are you getting my point? I expect you to start growing. I expect you to now go out of the house. Then one day, you know, I should join you two in marriage and then you start producing grandchildren. I don't know whether you have anyone to say. That is for a particular season. What do I want from you? Just develop. I know that's exactly how it is with God. A lot of us who are trying to help him out, God said, oh boy, why don't you just sit down? He said, Daddy, I just want to help you carry the television. Next thing here is Goza on the floor. Dear Lord. God will say, Gabriel, see me. He said, we love the Lord. Of course, you are the first in church. When the pastor is preaching, he's actually wasting time. Souls are perishing outside. We are sitting down here hearing the gospel. You want to go out and convert the whole earth. And God said, this man is sending more people to hell, but just this is running up and down. According to, what's his name? R.W. Schambach. He said, there are people who immunize people to the gospel. You know what's immunized? So Schambach says, some people have been immunized to the gospel. Somebody comes with something that looks like gospel. The people don't get converted, but they become resistant to the real one when it comes. A lot of people are just trying to work for God. That's what they are doing. immunizing the populace against God. Now, what am I going to say? That I say, for the Christian, what's most important to God is that you are built up. Don't ever forget that thing. God is not trying to get you to work for him. He's trying to get you to be like Christ Jesus. Then when you are like him, work comes out of you spontaneously, naturally. The thing just flows out of your system without you trying. And God is indeed glorified because it is his spirit that is birthing the things that you are doing, and it is energized by his spirit. You are getting the point I'm making? You follow all these points? Now, how did I get there? I was talking about the faith of the works, and then the works, and people not having, people speaking Christianese, everybody going to church and being very, very active. Yeah, that's where I started from. So you see, it's not the words that's primary. Are you getting my point? It's the faith that is in the heart. That's what I'm trying to explain. That first, when the faith is built up, then the words spill out naturally. You are getting the point? It's not just that we are learning the language. No, we are imbibing the spirit. I was explaining that. Then the spirit that once it's inside, it naturally, are you getting my point? No, produce something. Something happened to me once. Just a small story to illustrate this point. You know, then, and this is a fact, is what you are eating, you know, shows on your skin. You know, what you ate yesterday. That's when I say yesterday now. In previous years, it's not affecting your complexion today. You know that. I hope you know that. What you ate in 2005 and early 2006 is not affecting your appearance today. It's what you ate. In fact, the whole of 2006 is in the last few weeks and few months. Now, I'm going to say something here. So, spiritually also, it's what you are feeding on now and in recent times, all right, that affects the words you speak. Are you getting my point? And the actions you take. Now, so then, I was feeding on some very dangerous words. It was said by Bishop Oyedepo, a Supernatural Living series. And around that time, not only him, Kenneth Hagin, a lot of ministers have been, John G. Lake especially, been jacking up on John G. Lake terribly, you know, people like that. Then I sat down in a meeting. I just started working in Lute then. And a lady contesting a post walked up to me, all right, to campaign that I should vote for her, for the vice president. So I turned from where, you know, when somebody just moved close to my chair, I was talking to a friend, I now turned to face her. So maybe she thought I was startled, but I don't know why I would give her that impression. So she said, "Oh, did I scare you?" And I still remember the answer I gave her. I said, "Scare me?" I said, "Nothing is big enough to scare me in this world." I didn't know when I shouted for her. You know, I didn't plan it. I just turned. Somebody said, "Oh, sorry, did I scare you?" I said, "Scare me?" Now, I never met her before. I just started walking in Lute like a week or two before. And she said, "Did I scare you?" And I felt like I've been insulted. I said, "Scare me? Nothing is big enough in this world to scare me." Ah, she said, "Yes. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I said, "You don't need to campaign. I vote for you." Now, what am I going to say? Then, this wasn't church. This was Association of Resident Doctors meeting. It was not church at all. I didn't know whether she was a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Christian. I'd never seen her in my life. My first time of meeting this lady. So I wasn't trying to speak church language. If I didn't even have enough time to think church language thoughts, all right? I just responded according to what had been feeling my spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, in fact, I still heard my wife telling somebody recently, and you've heard me say it before, that when we first met, she thought something was wrong with this guy. No, really. Because of the way I used to talk. No, really. You big past this one, where would they see so? Or is there a part of you that is hidden that will tell us? Why? Because what you've heard me say, as God is my witness, you know, do you know the interesting part? I don't act preach, you know. I don't say anything just to make the message sound, you know. Maybe somebody has heard somebody pray, say, "Yet, when you preach like this, people will be persuaded." There is not, as God is my witness, there is nothing I say I don't believe. Like you heard me say last Saturday, I am going to personally receive I'll become more persuaded about it every day. I will receive 1 billion naira as offering to for the propagation of the gospel from 12 people within the space of 24 months. I am absolutely, in fact, the one I'm beginning to question is, God, please, these 12, make sure they are not 50, because the rate at which people are catching on, you know, like, and I'm going to say something as I'm going on today, all right? Because, please, don't ever forget this thing. God is not saying, now go out and go and look for how to make 1 billion naira so that you can give to the gospel. Listen, if you don't have 1 billion naira, don't try to give it. Please, don't pledge for me 1 billion naira. In Jesus' name, may I never receive a pledge from anybody. You know what I want? Sir, we have paid it. Do you get my point? So don't do it by faith. I don't want any... No, it's true. I see pastors say that, look, you can pledge by faith, then when they don't redeem, you'll now be harassing them. Why am I saying that? I am not talking about trying. I'm talking about something that will come out because somebody has believed. Are you getting the point I'm making? So when you hear such talk... Now, you know, I started by saying something that I'm sure of it. That, you see, every day I see reasons why I get surer. You know, after that preaching I preached last Saturday, on Monday, I now heard that one governor-elect was bribing his opponents with 1 billion naira each not to go to court. I said, so, won't I be stupid if I cannot believe God that he can give 1 billion naira from 12 people to preach the gospel when a stolen mandate, they are trying to sustain it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And listen, money is not a... That's why I don't understand why people want to die for it. Why do we want to die for it? It's not necessary because, listen, this may sound funny, but the fact is that paper money, the money you spend, all right, is actually a mass delusion. You know what I call mass delusion? That is, it only has value because you all believe it has value. That's the only reason why it has value. If one day you go to the market and the whole line, nobody accepts your naira note from you again, you will get worried. Then you will realize that in reality, that naira note is nothing. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, it's just what it can do. The favor it buys for you, you know my favor. You walk up to a car shop, and if you give them 1 million naira, it buys you a favor. The man will be so happy he'll give you a car. Do you understand my point? Now, so you see, it's actually commanding the hearts of men. It's commanding the attitudes of people towards you. Now, what does that tell you? It's actually a manifestation of a spiritual force. That's the point I'm going to make. That's what it is. That's what money is materially. Therefore, I don't see why people want... It's lack of understanding, actually. That's why we want to die for it. The truth is that if the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he can make all forms of resources abound towards him. Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, having all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work. That is, it is not a matter of struggle. It's that God decides that grace should come towards you. Are you getting my point? So, okay, I want to give out 1 billion naira for the preaching of the gospel. God didn't say, hey, I know this job I'm doing. See, I'm a doctor. I don't want to do it again. The billion naira won't come fast. So, you know what? I'm going to resign. I'm going to join real estate management or deals. Because you see, no, that one is not necessary. God said, believe. Now, remember what I said before? Time and chance begins to happen to you. Now, let me get back to my message. Now, I started all of this by trying to explain the fact that I don't see anything that I don't... No, I don't preach. You know what I mean by preaching? I don't try to preach. I am telling you what I believe. That which I have heard, which I have seen, which my hands have handled, which my faith has received in my heart from the Lord, that's what I'm telling you. Now, if I don't say it, it's because I don't believe it. Do you get my point? No, there's a difference between pride and just expressing what is true. Pride is just to think that you are better than somebody else. That is, you are comparing yourself to somebody else. Truth is, you just state what you are the way you are. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say. They asked Jesus Christ, and he answered them, I am the bread of life. No, he wasn't saying I'm better than the Pharisee. He wasn't comparing himself with anybody. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, if you don't like it, it's you that has a problem with it. Are you following what I'm saying? That is, when a man says what he's persuaded about, people might confuse it and say it is pride. That's their problem. Don't let them derail your faith. That's important. John G. Lake, he said something once in one of his books. I've read most of John G. Lake's books, and his teachings are very powerful. If you have never read John G. Lake, let me beg you in the name of the Lord from today, start reading John G. Lake, John Graham Lake. Very beautiful preacher he was. He said there was a powerful man of God that he knew. Now, this man was very powerful. Anytime the man preached, like if he's come to town to preach, everywhere will be full. He would deliver the word of God with power, and anointing will be flowing plenty. And then one day he came, he heard the man was preaching, so he went to where the man was preaching, and he noticed that, number one, the hall was hardly, there were few people around. Were many, but not as much as he had expected. He said, number two, he noticed that when the man began to preach, the power, the delivery that he expected, you know, the anointing that followed his preaching wasn't the same like he used to know. So he began to ask questions. Now, there were many things that he said. Let me just give you a number of them, then I'll sit on the one that's most important for my teaching. He said that, one, the man stopped loving the word of God as he used to love it, and he tried to explain some things. But there's another one he said, which I believe was so important in the man's problems. He said the man joined a denomination of people, of preachers, who did not believe in what they call bragging on yourself. That is, when you preach and you hear the kind of thing I say, that I believe that I will receive, you know, they just say, he has come again. All these proud preachers, they should exalt Jesus Christ, and self should not be seen. You know, we don't want to see you, we want to see Christ Jesus. I've told you again and again, God does not have a proper name of his own. No. He's always described by people. He's invisible. Are you getting my point? You can't see God until you see somebody. When Cornelius was going to see the gospel, he had to see Peter. Even the angel that appeared. You know, you didn't ask, why didn't the angel say that? Cornelius, sit down. In Romans chapter 1, of course there was no Romans. But to explain to him, no. He said, why didn't you send for somebody in whom the Spirit of God is dwelling? Now let me continue my story. So he said, in that denomination, they don't want to hear it. You come and talk like, the other day I was preaching somewhere, and then when I laid hands on my five people, five of them were blind. Immediately they began to see. You know, things like that. They say, he's bragging on himself. He wants to show us that, you know. Listen, as a man lied, has he tried to manipulate anybody? If anything, he's trying to build up their faith so that they will expect to receive something when he begins to minister. So he obliged them, of course. And you, oh God. Anyway, I'll get back to that. You have to be careful about modifying your knowledge of God to suit the opinion of people. Look, don't do what is popular. Are you getting my point? No, look. Something is popular, everybody is doing like that, doesn't make it right. If they don't like it, it's their personal problem. If you change, listen, if you are right and you change, you have denied your opponents the opportunity to know God better. Because you have gone down to their level. Instead of staying up where you are and allow them come up to your level. Do you get the point I'm making? So when the man will say things like that, people will complain. So for that reason, he stopped. He will go and preach. No declaration of what he knows. Experiences he's had with God, he doesn't say anything about it, and the power of God in his life began to dwindle. John G. Lake now made a statement. He said, you can't have power. Now listen to this very well. He said, you can't have power with God and not brag about it. He said, anyone who is not bragging on the power he has with God hasn't got it. Now, that's what I'm going to say. The man was saying that, listen, You know the interesting part? Read the, you know, I quote Kenneth Hagin a lot because I read him and I'm still reading him and listening to his messages again because it was such a tremendous blessing. He said that, now he was a prophet. He was primarily a prophet, all right? So he had some manifestations which I believe God granted him to allow us understand the gospel. You will see that, in fact, the whole of the gospel was founded, the Bible says, upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. They used to introduce new dimensions to teachings, which teachers now pick up and amplify and dissect properly. Now, one of the things he said is that the Lord told him, bring out your hands in a vision, and he did. And God anointed his hands, all right, with an anointing to minister to the sick. And he said, before people will be blessed by this, one thing you must do all the time, do you understand, is to tell them about this experience.